When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Rebecca Reeds.
And I'm your host, Craig Fay.
And today we are doing Hercules.
Disney's Hercules.
Very specific. Disney's Hercules. And we are joined by our very special guest, Chris Sandifer.
Yes, hello. Thank you so much. Walter Elias Disney was the most wonderful man. And God bless him for creating this company, him and his brother, because we get endless, endless joy forever.
Coming out strong for Disney.
Yes. Chris, we normally like to ask people what their relationship with the movie is when we have you on. What's your relationship with this movie?
Okay, so I rewatched it for this, obviously, but before watching it, I was mindful. I was trying to like remember what exactly what you just asked, and yeah. I'm realizing basically my relationship with it was like the whole like I know that there was like a Greek choir in the movie, but they were like a Southern Baptist.
Oh, the Muses, yeah.
Yeah, they were the Muses exactly, yes. And I liked that take as a kid mm-hmm. that there were. This like even as a kid I knew it's like that's not Greek culture at all. But yeah. It's really kind of like it's inclusive in yeah. a really fun, nice way. And that was my huge big first takeaway as like a kid. Because we didn't own the movie on like one of those clamshell VHSs. We owned a lot of the other ones, but not that one. So yeah.
I think this one was a staple in my house.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. I think I definitely watched it several times. Like I really remembered the plot line of this going into it.
Okay, I do not remember. Interesting.
Oh yeah, like the Muses were like I remember like that was we start there. They're my favorite.
Okay,
like I
right.
love that. Anytime they're in a scene, I'm like, this is perfect. I love this. Please, yeah. more. It's delicious. And they do
that.
It's delicious. It's delicious every time. And they do that nice thing of fusing old and new together.
Yes.
Of yeah. like, oh, we have soda.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And Disney's always been good about like with that. And I don't want to talk too much about another movie, but like Aladdin and the Genie.
Yeah.
And he's always pulling off these crazy references.
It's yeah.
Like, yeah. He knows. They know what they're doing.
Yeah. I think for me, it was just a little too like it was just past when like. Me and my sisters were big into Disney movies. You know what I mean?
How
there's,
yeah.
You know how there's that one that means so much to like your peers and you're like, mm-hmm. oh, I don't ever really remember watching that possibly till I was an adult.
Whoa.
Because like I got to the point where I was just like, I mean, I'm cooler than kids movies.
Are you like, you're an old soul. I would say. You're an old
I might
soul.
Be an old man.
But that's the thing. I say that, look, you know, to be jocular, I'll say like, yeah, I'm an old man, but I think you and I are old souls.
Oh yeah, that's true. We're both souls. Drinking, Chris and I are both drinking black coffee as we do this.
I'm cracking into a hard-boiled egg right now.
I'm an old soul, but I'm like trailer park old soul. You know what I mean? Like I got an edge to me that you're like, what the fuck is that? Where'd that come from?
She owns a spittoon is what yeah, she's trying yeah. to say.
I'm not going to borrow any Twizzlers from you.
Yeah, that's true. This movie this movie came out in 1997.
Yeah.
Or as the Matrix would call it, the peak of civilization.
The peak of civilization. I can't believe we're still on that.
I can't get over that.
Is that what they say? Cause
yeah,
right, because the movie came out and they talk about...
They talk 99. About... They kept it at the peak of civilization. They're like, this is the peak. This is why we stopped it here. Hilarious.
I mean, holy hell, we had Clinton doing his thing.
Yeah. So I guess, yeah. The villain of this movie, obviously,
is Hades.
Hades.
Lord of the
Are
Underworld.
We arguing for the devil?
This might be as close as we've
This is like, as I close guess. As we're going to get.
Yeah, that's why I chose this. I mean, horrible bosses aside, I mean, it's so fun, but this was just like, the guy's the devil. Yeah, the guy's the, you know, epitome of bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess we should, do you think they were right?
Okay, here's my thing. I think he's doing his job. That's my general opinion of this. He's doing his job. Here's what's happened, essentially. Okay, like if you go back at all, I actually pulled up a piece of his Wikipedia page of the lore of Hades. Page here.
That's allowed?
Absolutely allowed. Yes, I pulled out some side material.
You just have to footnote your references.
Okay, so it says despite modern connotations of death as evil, Hades was actually more altruistically inclined in mythology. Hades was more often portrayed as passive rather than evil.
Yes.
This is more of like an essential service.
Chaotic evil.
Yeah, right?
Because there's no rhyme or reason, it's just the world.
It's just like people have to die.
Yeah.
That's the circle. Has to happen and somebody has to take care of this.
Yeah.
Okay. If I have two main brothers, which is Poseidon and Zeus.
Zeus gets sky, Poseidon gets the sea. See,
and
he gets the underworld.
This guy gets the fucking basement,
right,
man. If I'm in a basement apartment, yeah, I'm going to try and move on up.
Zeus,
you know what I mean?
Zeus got like the loft.
Yes,
he's got like
the
penthouse suite.
He's got the penthouse suite. Poseidon's out chilling by the pool. He's got the whole pool house going up.
Yeah.
And he's got the furnace. He's stoking the furnace.
Yes.
Like the Phantom of the Opera. That makes sense.
Just like fucking centipedes and shit down there.
You know
like,
what? I thought this was going to be hard. I'm totally on the side of Hades.
Yeah. I will say, though, that this movie leaves out a lot of things about the Hercules story and Greek mythology.
Okay, you guys did research.
That are not... Well, okay.
Research is... I read a Wikipedia page at 3 a.m. last night.
I learned Disney's middle name, and that's it. That's all I did, and I watched the movie.
Yeah, because like what got me was... I kind of read up on like the historical Hercules myth, and... what happens in the movie is that Hercules is the son of Zeus and Hera, and then he gets poisoned by Hades to turn to kind of mortal. The two guys try and kill him as snakes. And then
Pain and panic.
And then Hercules grows up and creates these big feats of strength and reascends to being a Greek god. In the actual myth, Zeus is like a philandering asshole. Like he's sleeping with humans.
Actually, most of the gods are all dicks.
They're all about sex and olives.
So he knocks up Hercules' mom, and Hera gets so mad that she tries to kill him.
So wait a minute.
So Hera's actually the one who's supposedly who sends the snakes to kill Hercules in the myth.
And Hades is his dad? Is that what you're saying?
No, Zeus is still his dad.
Oh, I see.
But he's like...
Hades is his uncle,
right?
Essentially.
Yeah. And also, this is a Greek mythology, so probably stepbrother.
Yeah. There was some stuff about some regurgitation. And that was interesting.
Well, the thing is because... So again, like Hades' big plot in the Disney movie is that he's going to release the Titans.
And rule Olympus.
The Titans are actually his parents.
Yeah, they're the parents.
Excuse me?
Yeah, they're the last generation of gods that they essentially battled, locked up, and then he's like, you know what? I'm tired of living in the basement. Let's get dad into this. I'm going to bring a couple of parents into the mix.
Right,
get some other arguments on the table. I need sunlight for fuck's sake.
And to back up your point, exactly, is right in that opening scene where Hercules is born, and all the gods are together having a party.
Yeah.
And Zeus is just like, Hades, man, are you going to stay for a bit?
Yeah.
And he's just like, unlike the rest of you, I have a job
to do.
So I can't stick around here for your party. Like, we've all had a job where somebody's not pulling their weight. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you coming out for lunch? We're going to take off early and go out for lunch. We got a fucking deadline to meet. I got to sit here and do this because you assholes didn't get your work to me until last night at 5 p.m.
He's a disgruntled coworker.
Yeah. Slash brother. This is the worst family business.
You know what? I have to reiterate. I'm so with Hades on this. It's so true. Because isn't that how Sleeping Beauty begins? It's kind of the same deal.
Oh yeah,
Sleeping Beauty. But the difference is they didn't invite Maleficent, right? And then she shows up. The whole kingdom comes to show up to this baby's.
Yeah. This
baptism.
Rich baby, by the
yes,
way.
Exactly.
Rich baby. Okay.
Our baby.
That's a rich ass baby. There's gold in the corn. What baby needs gold shit? This is insane. Okay. This
Sleeping
is
Beauty needs gold. She needs gold.
This is insane. You're living on the top of a mountain, okay, or like in the sky, essentially. You're in the sky.
In the sky. You're in the sky.
You're in the sky.
You're outer space.
You're in
the Greeks are concerned.
The cosmos. The cosmos.
You're in outer space. You literally control everything. Okay, you literally turn off and on the sunlight.
Sun. You control the weather.
Okay, you're letting everybody at the bottom of this mountain fucking perish. These people are not doing well, and you guys don't give a shit. Okay, and you're like, get my baby some more gold, baby. It's a god. Look at this kid.
And is that part of the mythology? Is that part of like?
No. This is like part of the movie. You see when they scan over to the gifts, like the gifts, it's just like insane that you're essentially watching. Rich people that can control everything, not give a shit about people that are poor, and then Hades is just trying to get work done.
Wow,
he's like, if people don't die, this whole system collapses.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is we kind of look at death as being this evil thing, but it's just this essential part of life that needs to be managed. It's like the it's the sewer and water of Greek culture. You know what I mean? It's like you got to have somebody managing the dead, otherwise literally hell breaks loose.
And that was really fun too. The fates, again, having watched it really recently, those three like spirits that saw the past, the present, and the future that shared that eyeball. I completely forgot about that when I saw that. That was a really visceral, you know, memory. It's like, oh yeah, those three, oh those guys. And them kind of what was it? Cutting threads, to symbolize the passing of somebody. Their thread of life is cut now, and I thought. This is not funny. This is just like, wow, it's part of the world. This is the way it works. This is what you just said. I'm repeating you. And then, I don't want to spoil the movie for anyone who hasn't seen it.
It's Spoil City.
Spoil
dude,
City.
This is, if
when
you haven't watched this now.
When his threat turns gold, it's like, yes!
He's a god now.
He did it. And he made the ultimate sacrifice. No, the movie, I don't give it enough credit. Great. I think it's a lovely time.
It is good. I was humming all morning.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't stop
Great
singing.
Score. Can we talk about the score by Alan Menken? Great score.
Great
love
score.
Menken, baby.
No, that's a... There are some...
Yeah, and like as a movie that I wasn't huge into as a child, I was like, oh, that's from this movie.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I was like,
go the distance.
All I was singing this morning.
And like you could hear it in the score too. That's a friggin' good score. People who are familiar with me from an episode of another thing know that I love scores.
That is perhaps one of the most vague.
Anybody
who might be familiar from me from another thing that I did, I like scores.
On this very network, Talk From Superheroes, we tried to keep it on Spider-Man 2, but I kept pulling it to
We do that all the time. We're very rarely on topic.
Okay, very good. And another thing, I like Bernie, guys, in this election. Holy hell, man. If you could just pull out another couple wins in these primaries.
So funny. You do a great Bernie impression.
I'm not going to bust it out, I promise you. Yeah. There was a moment, though, when you were talking about like the way the Olympians ruled over the peasants. You could isolate that whole whatever it was, I want to say 30 seconds, and it's a political podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can put that on. Here's a clip from another podcast where they talk about politics. And literally, you can put that in, and it's like, that's what...
These people... up on their mountain. Surrounded. They're fucking, we're building statues for them. We should be
Get this Zeus guy out of office.
Yeah.
Corrupt.
Because he does seem very cavalier about everything.
Yeah. I mean, that is kind of, I think, the appeal to me of Greek mythology or the pantheon of the gods. Because I'm looking to change. I'm looking for a new religion. Is the fact
you're
that
convert.
They... Yeah, I could. You can still convert to that, right? Is that they are fallible people, are gods, right? They're not like not omnipotent. They have faults. They fight with each other. Like that I could get behind a little bit more than someone who's like, I know everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I am your god. Bow down towards me. I'd be like, oh, you got another girl pregnant and your wife wants to murder him?
Right.
I won't say we all been there, but I get, you know, you got problems too. Maybe the harvest is on me this year, you know?
It's Vanderpump rules, you know, up there on that hill, you know? Oh, we're not watching Vanderpump? Is it too much, the Vanderpump ref? It's drama. I'm trying to say it's like it's reality TV drama.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But Hades is also, like, even just the character design of Hades in this.
It's great.
Borderline a little scary. Like, it's, I was watching this. Great. And I was like, the fates, like you mentioned, like passing that eyeball around.
They are scary and goopy. And
he's got like these sharp teeth. His face is on fire.
And James Woods' voice.
Is like if Family Guy has dropped you as a reference.
Yeah.
Like you're like.
Well, you know, this is 1997. So, I mean, I'm not.
But
he does have good evil voice.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
He has perfect evil voice.
You know, can we talk about that for a moment?
Let's put it this way. I'd be much happier if Gary Shandling had done something similar, and then we can watch this movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this has been Gary Shandling.
You know, he was a Disney villain. He was one of the bad senators in like a Captain America movie.
Oh yeah, that's true.
He was
that's
like
true.
Senator Stern.
Yes. I guess that is technically a Disney movie.
That's a Disney movie. It's under the banner, baby.
Oh god.
I love. Can we talk about that? Because like some actors have the best voices for, and Disney's great at casting voices, like people instead of voices, if that makes sense. Like all the Incredibles, you know, you cast, you know, Coach to be the main guy in the Incredibles. And that to me is such a good choice. They're not casting people who are doing, not like Dan Castellaneta and the Simpsons.
Right.
Like they're just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I see what
they're
you're saying.
They're not casting voice actors necessarily. Yes. They're casting people to inhabit.
To become a character.
And it's like, oh yeah, that's a really iconic voice. And I think about that all the time with Pixar and Disney in particular. But then there's these people like, you know, Kevin Spacey, who was the principal bad guy in A Bug's Life. And just watching it recently, being like, this is great. He's great as that villain, Hopper. But anyway.
It's all real. Turns out a lot of people that got to voice these villains turned out to be very bad people.
Pretty bad guys.
Yeah, that's how they were tapping in.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, and on that point, so I was reading that Meg, the love interest in this, the woman who, so I think she's got an exceptional voice for this character.
Yes.
Like says so much in what she's not saying.
And
just
what's
the
name of the actress, by the way?
I don't know. I wrote Danny DeVito down. Is the only thing. And I was like, Hercules Meg. But she was, yeah, you can check out my notebook. I've written down the character's name and Danny DeVito is the only one that I've actually written down the actual actor to. But she was actually playing Belle on Broadway in Beauty and the Beast. And Disney did not want her to audition because they're like, you're Belle.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, and then she just knocked it out of the park and got the role.
Susan Egan.
There we go.
Mm.
Yeah, anyway.
All right.
I leaned so hard into not giving a shit. I was like, it's a cartoon. We're not going to need to know the character's name.
You know what? And there's a few that I'm hearing that I couldn't place. And there's like Wayne Knight, I think is one of the guys, the guy with the pots at the beginning who...
I think it's
Wayne Knight. I didn't look it up.
But he's great in that. He's great in that role.
And the guy who plays the River Centaur is Winnie the Pooh. But
Optimus Prime too?
Yeah, somebody. But it's like he does all of them. Like he does every single voice. And that's to your point. A good balance that I think these movies do strike is like you hire the professional voice actors who can inhibit. any character they want, and then you put in these sort of special people that can like are really going to bring something to
it,
but won't necessarily transfer to any other character. But.
Right. Like when I thought about the movie, what was it? Inside Out, like Bobby Moynihan and there's another SNL person kind of working together.
Bill Hader.
It's not Bill Hader, but like in the background, not like of the principal cast. It was like the two guys going around in the dream.
Oh, Will Forte. Yeah.
Was it Will Forte?
I think
it doesn't matter. I'm really derailing it. Hey, that's great, right? You guys do that too, right? So I'm really fitting in. Great.
Yeah. So I guess Hades, very well, great voice, great personality, how he's animated. And his real plot is just basically like, I want to take over.
Yes. His plot is I want to take over, but I want to take over something that's already within my family. And these are already pretty much the established rules of how these people run their businesses.
Yeah.
Okay. It's always a war. It's always a bit, you know what I mean? It's never discussion. And this is historically what has happened time and time again. And this is how these gods deal with these things. So his does everything he do correct? Hades? No. Nah. Okay. But you can understand the realm of it. And I would also really like to talk about why I think Hercules is shitty.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Let's hear it.
Okay. So first of all, so when we get into the first couple scenes here where he just like mucks up a whole market.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you like, and that seems like a regular thing that he constantly does and is not conscious of and does not care about. Okay, no, you shouldn't be playing frisbee because you're gonna lob one of these guys' heads off.
Right.
Okay, straight up.
Right.
These are not bad men for saying no. Okay, these are not bad people for feeling fearful because you could literally kill anyone around you. That's how strong you are. You could kill them
with great strength.
Okay, with great strength, you take down a whole market. Okay, like the economy of this place is built around this building. Okay, you destroy the economy of it.
He crashed the market.
He crashed the. Yes, unreal. Yes, he crashes the market. Okay, so then after this, his whole goal is okay. Why? Like his adoptive parents tells him who he is. He goes to see the gods, but his whole song and dance is that he wants crowds to cheer for him.
Mm.
He wants to be famous. He wants to be known, notable. There is nothing morally correct driving this man. Okay, at a moment
he wants
until
to be a god.
Yes, he wants
he's
to be a
motivated
god.
Motivated by that,
there's yes, being a god again. If it was like,
you know, it'd be great. That's pretty, more power.
That's a pretty good motivation. But you're right. I don't know, it's not virtuous.
I misuse the power I have right now. But you know, it'd make that better. More power.
Yes, and honestly, all Hades does is provide the means to get to where he wants to go. This guy is literally looking for monsters, and Hades just dropping them at his doorstep. Right. Here's another one. This is what you want. This is what you have asked
that
for.
That was my one thing plot-wise where I'm like, Hades, you're already, like, he's strong. I mean, that it took him so long. That it took him so long to figure out the Meg angle, you know? Tempt him with other things. Like, I don't know. That seemed odd to me.
It was. And the villagers, when he shows up and they're like, you're not a hero, I would have said that to him too.
Right.
Yeah, you just showed up and said, the first thing you tell these people is that you're a hero.
Yeah, I'm a hero, buddy.
If you're saying you're a hero, you're not a hero.
Yeah, true.
Like, point. Okay, this guy is too far up in his own head. Mm. It's not like I don't get this strong sense of I want to join my parents. I get the strong sense of I want to be famous. I want people to know who I am. Mm. And Phil is the exact same way.
Mm.
Because when he says his whole motivation is not like when he looks at, when you look at Danny DeVito's character, Phil, who's the trainer of these heroes.
Philotides or something.
Phil, yeah.
Okay.
Call me Phil.
Phenomenal character, mm-hmm. but it is notable off the top when he's talking about all these guys that failed. Okay, he's not talking about the people that could have been saved if they had been smarter or we could have done more for the community. It's that I want somebody to put my guy up in the stars and people to say, that's Phil's boy. You have such a weird energy if that's your whole motivation.
I like that you pointed out that you didn't have like a grassroots initiative. He was like all about making heroes.
Yes, like he was just all about like
community.
Yeah, he just wants to be known. He just wants to be famous. A lot of this is just about fame and notoriety.
It's not actually
about doing good and being, you know what I mean? Providing a service for your community.
Yeah, we need some.
I think that's so funny.
We need some more grassroots, like someone who's really willing to like roll up their sleeves and make
heroes of the community, of the pillars of community. Yeah,
we literally invented the pillars of community. But like someone who's like going to be very much, I am anti-monster. I don't think we should allow them in the city limits. These gods have allowed them to run amok. It's like, let's hold them responsible.
Let's hold them responsible, and we should. You know what? It's kind of fortuitous, but I heard an interview with Danny DeVito where he doesn't remember singing in that movie. Like he
admits, I mean, that was a bit weak.
It's a fine song. It's a fine song. It's not, I mean, I don't remember it right now, except, I mean, I Can Go to the Distance. That's the chart topper, but the showstopper, let's say. But this one, it's pretty catchy and good. And in an interview, he's like, did I sing in that one? Oh, yeah, I guess I did. And the guy, the interviewee, you can hear him off mic, kind of like his voice wandering in. Yeah, you sang that one song. Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, Danny DeVito has had a long career. I would like.
I don't blame the man.
Hey, did you get an applause break at that show you did 3 years ago? I don't know.
What was I doing? Taxi? Was I doing Taxi? That was 40 years ago. Oh, but he's great. But you're right. You're right. Again, Hades, baby. And I love the way he talks. Baby. I remember, like, that's another thing I remember when I was a kid. He seemed like a Hollywood player, kind of. That was his thing.
He's like a smarmy quality to him.
And that one guy, Hermes, who I can't pin that voice.
Letterman's sidekick.
Oh my God, is that Shore?
Yeah, that's
or what... Shore, wait, no, Shore. Is that his name?
How can we not? How do we blank at this?
No, we'll get it.
It is him though. Sure? It is him. Yeah.
Shit. Because I don't remember it, and I said a wrong name. Now we can't.
Exactly.
Can't
we'll like go on to something
worry.
Else. And
don't look it up.
Fine.
We'll remember.
Yeah, Hermes.
Somebody listening is going. Schaefer.
There we go. Thank you. Yeah.
Oh
there
my
you.
God. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Paul Schaefer is Hermes.
Yeah. Okay. There it was. I loved his energy too, with his little glasses, with the no things that put them around you, the loops that put them.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you call the part of glasses that you fit them on your face?
Jesus. Good thing we do words for a living. What do you call glasses? No, what are the things? They help you see. They're made of glass. You put them on your face.
I got stoned on the way over here. That's true. Do you guys want to get stoned right now?
I'm good.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's some fantastic like cameos and stuff in this, too. Like, as we said, Hermes.
Yeah. Oh, Rip Torn, who left,
Zeus.
Who left us all too soon last year.
Yeah, that's too bad. He's been in some great comedies.
Great comedies. And his voice is perfect for it.
One subtle note I did notice, and this is very intentional, but when Hercules is getting his picture painted and he's wearing the head of the lion or whatever, he takes it off and it's Scar.
Scar, yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't clock that?
Well, no, I wasn't watching it like actively. I just
I got you.
I was kind of multitasking when I watched
it. Oh my God. Yeah. I love that scene just because of how much the artist flips out. Yeah. I'm like, valid. Valid. Get it, girl. You've been here all day. This motherfucker keeps moving. Nobody cares.
Right.
This is hours upon hours of work.
And it's like you've also got to duplicate it on all these vases, mm-hmm. and the arguments made in the movie, by the way, about the pronunciation. It's used in a song. They rhyme vase with vase.
Really?
Rather, they don't rhyme vase with vase, but they rhyme other words with both those words.
Right.
And it's like, okay, cool. Sorry.
I think we can let that just be both, right? Like,
yeah.
It's,
they said it. Hercules said it. Yeah. It's both.
What do you guys think about Meg? Because she's kind of like the double cross, right? So we learned that she is working for Hades.
Mm-hmm.
Because she had to sell her soul.
She did a bad thing to do a good thing, to accomplish a good thing.
Yeah. Right. What was it?
She was saving the soul of her beloved.
Right.
Who we don't meet. Right?
Yeah. So she saved his soul. She sacrificed her own soul
for this guy.
His.
Who then philandered.
Yeah. He left with somebody else.
Right.
Which is, I mean.
Man, that's low.
Yeah.
You know what? That guy, he's low.
But honestly,
you know who the real villain is?
That
unnamed.
Who is that guy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That guy's a bad man for sure.
You know what? That's a great sequel. I want to see the prequel, the sequel of, you know, Meg's story of how she came to make that sacrifice. You know, that's probably
true. There's going to probably some harrowing things leading up to that.
I loved Meg growing up. Like, I had like a doll. I had the.
Oh, yeah.
They had great toys for
they
this
did.
One.
Yeah.
They had great Hercules toys. Like, the McDonald's line that came out was
that's
notable.
Right. Back when McDonald's, the slogan was, did somebody say McDonald's? Remember that?
No.
Did somebody say McDonald's? You guys don't remember that?
No.
It was, have you had your break today? Do you remember that one?
No.
Have you had your break today? You guys don't remember?
No.
This is like encyclopedic knowledge of McDonald's.
It's only
McDonald's.
Been those ones. Have you had your break today? Did someone say McDonald's? And then I'm loving it for the longest time. It's been that
forever. I'm loving it has, yeah, worked.
Yeah, for me. It's been the stay.
It's been the stay. 25 years, maybe. Maybe longer.
Oh, well, that's 100% why I don't know any of those.
Yeah. So, yeah, you were a big Meg fan? Like, what is it that...
I just think there was something... I had something with, like, Disney female leads.
Right.
Like, I just would have everything about... You know what I mean? Like, I think I might have... Did I dress up as Meg for Halloween one year? I think I did. I'm almost positive I did. If I can find the photo, I'll tweet it.
Okay, nice. Yeah, because like
I'm not going to tweet the one where I was Mulan.
Different. It was a similar time, everybody.
Just kidding.
No, Mulan's a great character, and if we could all be Mulan this Halloween, it would fix America. Everyone's Mulan.
Yeah, because like to me, she's not. Again, like I have a different relationship with this movie than you guys do, but I don't remember her as being iconic. But like watching the movie, I'm like, there is something very captivating about the way that they animate her, yes. The way that she's acted.
It's a great performance by Egan. I forgot her first name, but you know, last
well,
name.
I think it's for me. It's because she was like a really she feels like a more fleshed out character to me. Where she has different motivations and desires and more complexities than Hercules does or
Ariel,
Hades does.
Or Ariel.
They all seem to have one goal they're all driving towards. And Meg has that in a sense of like she is just trying to be free.
Right.
But she has, I feel like, more moral dilemmas and flip-flops and she makes more interesting decisions.
That's true, actually.
She's one of the more interesting characters in this for me because she's more dynamic. She's a real person. Mm-hmm. She has real problems where it's not like, am I going to be a god or not? It's like, oh my god, like I've given up my soul to a man, which like preach. You know what I mean? Girl. I get it. I'm here for it. You know what I mean? Like everybody's been sucked dry like that at one point or another. And then you come out and you're like, you know what? I am going to screw over the next guy. Fuck him.
Right.
This is really a normal relationship pattern, to be honest with you.
No,
you go, fuck this guy. Yeah. And then you start to get into them and you're like, oh no, I'm doing it again.
Yeah.
What am I doing? I'm going to do it again. And I also like that she is self-sacrificing.
Mm. Right.
Like she is the one that... you don't see that a ton. You don't see a lot of the woman save, especially early Disney. You're not seeing anything of like she's gonna save him. He does ultimately end up saving her, but she has her moment.
Yeah, she pushes him out of the way of the pillar once he lost his strength.
Right.
And she gets crushed by
because she does have evil moments, but she has good ones too. So she, in my mind, is more of a neutral character.
I wouldn't even say she has any evil moments, really. It's more like
She's willing to at a moment in this movie, she is willing to sacrifice other people for her own freedom.
Yeah.
And it but only what's his name? Hercules. What's his name?
Yes, right? But if you're not, if I get it in the sense of like you've been harmed, you've been hurt, like you can't trust people, but this individual has done nothing but help you.
Right, right.
He's the wrong person to pick.
Right. Even though, how dare you, he's a god.
Yeah.
It's more power. How dare he?
Also, I'm just going to fast forward to the end of this because this one thing that I was like, this is insane. Can you imagine being a parent? Okay, you've been away from your child forever. Okay. And then he's like, you know what? I'm going to skip on this and I'm going to skip out with this lady I met, you know what I mean, a couple weeks ago.
Right, but he doesn't know those people.
Yeah, but it's all he's been driving towards his whole...
Which is what that's what makes this hard to take Hades' side completely. Like, I'm like... Because to me, he rejects the thing that he wanted, which is what forever immortality, being a god, living among the gods in Olympus, whatever, controlling the world. And to me, that's like good, right? That's what the movie's saying, right? The movie's saying that's kind of cool, this guy, that he did that.
Like Hercules, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, like... you figure out... and I guess the lesson kind of is supposed to be like you figure out what's important along the way.
Right, right.
Like whatever you're aiming for maybe isn't the ultimate, right?
Except for Phil. He learns nothing. He smiles at the stars and somebody says, that's Phil's boy.
That's Phil's boy.
He gets
and his
exactly
dick
what
got
was.
So hard. And, that's all that happened.
I'm fine with that.
And presumably...
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
He had a goal.
He had a goal. He achieved it.
Yeah. At the end of it, though, what does Hades just go back to being Lord of the Underworld?
Yes.
And like, oh, he falls in the river.
He falls in the pit, and they're if he ever gets out, which he, of course, will. He's a god as well.
Yeah.
He'll be able to figure it out.
That's just an inconvenient workplace accident is what that is. He's like, for fuck's sakes.
How do we feel about Pain and Panic as henchmen? Because that's what they are. They're henchmen.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. I love that dynamic.
I love the dynamic. I just, I mean, they were pretty effective, right? They almost killed Hercules in the beginning. They
Which
really
is
came
honestly
close.
Relatable content. Who hasn't made a mistake at work and then tried to sweep it up?
Right, right.
Ooh, broke a couple of plates.
Right, right.
I mean, but presumably they have been in the henchman game a while. You know, granted, this is ancient Greek. We don't have all the dramatic beats lined up. We're still inventing those. Mm-hmm. But you gotta know that if you're supposed to kill somebody who the fates say are gonna come back and defeat your boss, that you can't just be like, well, maybe not. You know, like, like you gotta make sure that's handled. Like, the people who told you to deal with this are literally called the fates. Like, fate has dictated that if this guy doesn't die, he's going to come back. And they're just like, I'm sure it's fine.
Okay, so maybe it's their first day. It's their first day.
It's their first day.
Or first, you know, whatever the equivalent of a day is in for those demons, you know.
Fair enough.
It's like, okay, we're just getting acquainted with the guy. Does that work for you?
Okay, sure. It's first day? Absolutely.
First day, in quotations, you know, first millennia where they're figuring it out. They're going through their paces.
Yep.
They almost do it.
That's true. One drop.
There's one drop and it fell on the ground. I'm thinking, how do they fix that?
You're right.
How do they, you know, to me that's like... If I knew that was going to happen, would I be a little bit more careful with the vial? Or I guess don't put the vial in like a breakable thing.
Yeah, come on, Greeks. Why haven't you invented plastic yet?
Like a polymer.
Yeah.
You some know, sort you of... have magic. You know? Anyway.
Yeah.
Come close.
I'm just going to say... As I'm going to say, Hades, a little hot-headed. I understand why they don't.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hot-headed.
Understand why you don't want to give that guy bad news. I'm just saying, if I'm the boss, I'm in charge, I want a little honesty. You know what I mean? If I'm going to trust you to do a task, let's have an honest back and forth about how this went. Hey, you made a mistake. You didn't quite get all the drops of poison in there. Let's figure
let's
out a way.
He's not a good team lead. He's not a good
team
lead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No. He just gets angry. It's all negative reinforcement with Hades. That's his problem.
Mm,
he's the Lord of the Underworld, but you know what? Some positive reinforcement might make the Underworld a little bit better for you and your team.
You have a dog. You like animals. You have
that's
a soft side.
Yeah.
You must have a soft side.
Yeah, he loves creatures.
Yes.
Plans. He's patient.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 18 Schemes. Years he's waiting for this the planets to align so he can release these things. Like, He's got a Gantt chart, which is showing all the... No one knows what a Gantt chart is. Okay, project management. It shows the duration of every task and who's got to complete it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
I'm just saying, for an 18-year project, like that's got to be...
The Planck's chart? Planck chart?
A Gantt chart.
Gantt!
A Gantt chart.
Gantt!
Do yourselves a favor, everybody. Give a Gantt chart a good Google. You think you're organized now? No, don't. Absolutely
give
do
a Gantt a gander. You heard it here first.
Yeah. We always like to ask, what's your favorite chart, Chris?
Honestly, pie. Pie or Vendetta? Like the circle.
Vendetta?
Vendetta.
This is the kind of guest we like on The Villain Was Right. I have a Vendetta diagram. It's just a circle with a U inside it.
And anyone inside this is in my crosshairs, baby. It's a crosshair.
Yeah, that's my bad. It's just a picture collage. You're just thumbtacking stuff into. Oh God. Please tweet at us your versions of your Vendetta diagram.
I'm writing that down.
Vendetta diagram.
You obviously know I meant Venn diagram. Those are fun. It's like, oh, cool. What do these things have in common, but also their same, like their differences? What are their sames? What are their differences?
That's the root of comedy, baby.
Yeah.
Similarities and differences.
Data diagram / chart. Oh my God. We're having we're rolling tonight.
We're good. It's good. Yeah, I don't know. It's...
I'm going to okay, this is kind of, and I'm going to speak only within the realm of this movie. Okay, so we only have the information from this movie. No outside, whatever,
lore.
Thank
you, finally. At long last.
But
finally, someone's ignoring the long history of this character. That's what people listening to podcasts like to be. No, just ignore the original source material. Yeah, all right, go ahead.
But You have to question the motivations of Zeus because these, okay, you've locked up four people or four gods that are essentially what, like natural disasters.
Yes.
The representations right. of natural disasters, okay? So you've said, okay, we're going to keep the world, in my mind, if you're like, okay, we're going to keep the world safe, this is a smart thing to do, right? But that's not what they do because this whole scene is overrun by huge monsters, catastrophes, all this kind of stuff. So they actually don't care if people are safe enough or not. They only care about maintaining power.
You're talking about Hades.
No, I'm talking about Zeus.
Oh, but Zeus.
Because Zeus is essentially like he locked them up with the. Or in this story,
right,
in the Disney, he locks them up, right?
Is it him that locks them up? I didn't know that.
It was like a collective effort,
right,
essentially.
Right. That makes sense.
Like it's. He gets them locked up.
I like it.
Okay.
Yeah, he's
but you,
tough on crime.
You've separated, for some reason, these ones are different than the other monsters, and you don't really care about the population underneath you because they're struggling and they're not thriving at all, but that doesn't matter. We just needed to lock up these people because they were a threat to us.
Are you calling, like, the natural disaster monsters people?
Yeah, Titans are
Titans.
Gods.
Yes. They're Titans, essentially.
Okay, right.
Like they're a part of the same.
They're gods.
They're gods.
Gods.
They're a part of the same.
I guess
like,
you're right. I mean, I didn't see them as I saw them as Leviathan beasts. You're right though. Somebody should be advocating for them. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Let's get a lawyer up in here.
free Cyclops.
Get on him.
Oh, yeah. Cyclops was among them. That's right. And he beats up Hercules, something fierce.
And he also real gross. Like how they animated that, I was like, ew.
Just, a real chunky guy.
Just like kind of melty.
Melty.
Yeah.
Not even chunky. Melty. It's true. Flabby and melty. And I'm not shaming him. I'm just saying, hey, that's right. Don't beat him up, is what I'm saying. Really backpedaling here.
But you're absolutely right. It's like this is just another political rival that you have.
Yes, in a sense.
That you've locked up. Yeah. Yeah, and you're letting river monsters and like fucking hydras and everything like that just run amok because they don't oppose a threat to the ruling class.
Exactly, and that's all they care about is protection. They don't care until they're at the gates of their door.
So political, so political, guys. That's true. As soon as pestilence and plight visit the rich and powerful, that's when it's like
that's when it's a
when
problem.
We have to take action.
It's not a problem until it's our problem.
Right.
Okay. And that's how they operate the whole thing. So, I mean, if Hades wants to overthrow them, I could at least see why.
Yeah.
See, it's not, to me, it's not the why. It's the, you know, this is what's inside of me and I'm upset. Well, not, again, we covered this earlier. Just him having the worst job where it's a lot and you guys are having your parties in the penthouse. And I'm like making sure that the world has not too many souls in it. Or whatever.
Yeah, this is the sanitation system. Do you know how many people died in ancient Greece? No antibiotics. You got a cut on your hand. You're a goner.
Gone. You're
there's monsters roaming around.
Right. People are dying in childbirth, mothers and children. And it's like, he's got to, it's true. He's got to keep the pipes clean.
And he still has time to hatch this 18-year long plot. Like, that guy is managing some things. You know what I mean?
He's still got time to scheme for 18
overthrow. Like, he's got the underworld humming, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's
he's
like
spinning a lot of plates, is what
and
you're saying.
Yeah, and then evenings and weekends, he's working on his plot to overthrow his brother and take over the penthouse. So, like, that's a hard worker.
I would have liked to have seen him reason with Zeus a little bit more, I guess. Mm. Try to reason. You're at that party. Make a friend. Make a friend.
Well, they already have a pretty sordid history,
It goes
I think.
Far back.
Yeah, I guess it's,
And
it's
I
deep.
Will say anything that he did, like, with Meg and with Hercules, something that is notable is that they both made a deal.
We
and
love a good
saying,
deal on
I'm not
this.
Saying it's a good deal.
Right.
But they did agree to terms to alter the reality that they're in.
Right.
Okay,
yes.
So you do have to suffer whatever consequences happens. Okay, you want to pull somebody's soul out of death, and you're willing to put yourself into that position. Mm-hmm. Well, you said, yes, we've literally altered the course of reality. Okay, we've gone outside of what should be humanly possible.
Yeah, and let's not forget that bringing somebody back from the death is a huge ask.
That's huge, yeah.
That's huge.
It's a great deal. We're never going to get a better deal. I'm so sorry.
So, like, there's
So good the deal.
So there's a price to be paid, right?
Exactly.
And I mean, I don't know what the going rate for Resurrection is. You know, you could say that's a bad deal all you want, but literally no one's ever had that deal. You know?
Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying they were deals. Were they bad deals? Yeah, but I mean, sometimes you get a lemon.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Sometimes you pull out and you're like, oh man, this engine crapped out immediately.
Yeah.
Shit. Okay. Uh-huh. Shouldn't have spent my full $8,000 on this.
Exactly. Well, and to Hades.
That's how much I value my soul, by the way.
I was going to say, did you make a deal? What happened to you?
I value my soul about as much as a 2003 Toyota Camry.
Yeah. I'd price it in around
$8,000.
But like, that's another great point about Hades is he is willing to make these deals. Mm-hmm. He's not this immovable,
yes,
cold guy. He's, yeah, like, you really want to save your boyfriend? All right, here's the cost. Take it or leave it. Oh, okay, you're good. Hercules, listen, sit this one out. Just agree. You lose your strength for 24 hours.
Yeah.
Let me do my thing.
Yeah.
And he
I like that about him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really do. Him and Ursula, the sea witch.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
I find her to be totally, she has a contract.
It's sea law.
It's binding.
It's sea law.
Yes.
And this is maritime underworld law. You know, right, what I mean? It's like,
I'm totally on the side of the law. I'm, yeah, sorry, guys. Call me crazy. It's the law, these contracts.
Yeah, I don't think everything Hades does is correct. I mean, in the sense of, like, as a human, as I am a person,
yeah, yeah,
you know what I mean?
As good choices, yeah, right.
But as far as God law goes,
right,
I think it's kind of within the rules.
Everything tracks. No,
you know what I mean? Like, people are eating their children, regurgitate. There's a lot happening. Yeah, I mean, this seems
incest
like it's...
and, yeah, child kinda, murder.
Kind of seems par for the course.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my general feeling on this villain.
He seems well motivated. I understand why he's doing what he's doing. And Disney's good at that. Disney's not just making up villains, you know, that you can't a little bit empathize with. Whereas, like, every time I watch one of these new Star Treks, I'm like, what does this guy, what does Nero want? Remember 2009? Remember that one? The J.J. Abrams one?
Yeah.
What does he want? What's his thing? He wants to blow up Earth. Why? Because his planet blew up. Why? Because the sun blew it up. Okay? So now I'm going to blow up Earth. We didn't do that! Sorry, these terrible villains of the week.
Gods fighting each other. That's what we want.
That's what, yeah, it's all
about. That's what I understand.
So anytime I get a chance to take down Abrams and his goddamn Star Trek movies, I'll do it. I'll take him down. Star Trek, I'll say it here. It's an unpopular opinion. Make Star Trek boring again. Because that's what it's about. It's not an action crusade.
That's very funny. I like that.
Anything else we want to cover on Hercules?
I think I've said everything I want to say.
All right, nice. So I guess it's time to get to our definitive rankings of how good the villain is.
Okay, I did a blue scale because he's so blue. I've got him. I'm rating Hades, obviously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've got him from Tobias to I'm blue Dubba D. I'm gonna give him a blue balls. You know what I mean? It's comfortable. I get it. You don't like your situation, but get over it.
There you go.
Take a lap.
Nice. I like it.
I'll go next or what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I've got a 0 to 0 scale.
I love it.
Where literally it's 5 notches and everything is another way to call 0. So, like, you know, the little circle with the dash through it in numbers, you know. And
I'm aware of the concept of 0.
From 0 to 0. From 0 to 0, I give him a 9, and that's the German way to say 0.
Oh, like 9-9. Yeah, okay. Very nice. Very
so
nice.
That's kind of clever, I think.
Yeah, so I got the hot-headed scale. Mm-hmm. So on the scale of everyone's favorite fiery redhead to the Human Torch, I'm going to give old Hades here a good Ghost Rider. You guys remember Ghost Rider, right?
Of course.
You may have forgotten about him, but he's just out there doing his own work and doing what needs to be done, even though he's not that popular. That's what I'm giving Hades, is a good Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider.
That's great.
Let's do it.
Yeah, and before we get to our heroes and villains of the week, a couple ways you guys can help out the podcast. First of all, if you have suggestions, if you want to share something with us, you can check us out. Tweet at us, VWR Podcast on Twitter. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/villainwasright. You can also email us any suggestions or tips or tricks or comments or whatever to villainwasright@gmail.com.
We also have a Patreon.
Yeah.
Please hit that up if you're looking for extras. If you're already a Patreon, we love you so much. Thank you very much. We need you. Yeah, if you're looking for extra content, we have two bonus episodes a month where Craig and I cover a topic that we normally couldn't cover on this podcast.
Because maybe, like, the villain wasn't right.
Wasn't right, but we want to talk about them.
Yeah, we
want to cover the movies.
Wait a minute, what?
Because it's a bonus. So we go like interesting villains that maybe aren't right. So we kind also of expand the concept up a bit.
Really more personal stories, maybe. We get a little deeper on that.
If you want to
hear us being loose and fun and what have you, and talk about some things maybe we shouldn't talk about, check us out there. We did Colossal this month. It is it's dark.
It's a dark episode, but it's a great one.
It's gonna be super fun to listen to, and we have our Bob's Burgers episode, which is, again, the yin to the yang, the lighter episode,
which we
needed to balance.
Yeah, so. If you can check out us there. And if not, one thing you can do, always free to help support the podcast. Whatever you use for podcasts is, please subscribe. Please like, leave us a 5-star review, and maybe just a quick 1-sentence review. That really helps with the algorithms and for us to move up.
If you want to leave us a 1-star review, scream into a pillow. It'll make you feel better.
All right, there we go. And now
it's time for Hero or Villain of the Week. I am covering a villain. It is just I don't have a story this week. I just have a very basic concept that I would just like us all maybe to have a hot rant about for 30 seconds.
Very good.
And I think maybe Chris will have something to say about this. Daylight savings time.
Oh my God.
Kill it. Kill it dead.
Okay.
Nobody.
Okay.
Nobody likes this.
I
am gonna make a hard stance. I don't think anybody likes it. We don't need it anymore. And not everybody does this. We don't need this.
Well, so I agree with you, but I also love when we gain the hour. I hate when we lose the hour, like today, because I'm fucked. I was fucked today getting late to this. But I love when we gain the hour. Does that make sense?
So here's what we do. Every year we just gain an hour. Just get rid of the losing hour thing.
Yeah. Just four in the afternoon becomes like twilight.
In a few
wild.
Years, we're fucked. But yeah,
that's good.
It'll be a good couple of fall days.
No, dude. We implemented it, I think, because of some farming.
But farmers hate it.
And the farmers hate it now. Like, nobody likes this.
There's a lot of places where it came from. Conserving oil at night during the war.
But problems we
farmers.
Do not have.
Yeah.
Problems
Nobody's,
we no longer have.
I'm sorry, we still have war. There's plenty of war out there.
Sorry, pardon me.
Don't badmouth war.
But yeah, it honestly drives me fucking crazy.
I agree.
Time it happens. I have I know this is a very first world problem. Like, this is a very small complaint to have, but I have my brother bought me a massive clock from Winners. It's like the size. It takes up half the wall.
Oh my God.
It's two of these. You know what I mean? It's a huge thing, and I have to lift it off the wall every fucking time just because we've changed one hour. I had to fucking pull it every clock off. You know what I mean? I'm old school. I get it. But yeah, thank God for the cell phones, though, right?
Exactly.
So I would never be on time otherwise.
Oh
God.
My watch on my wrist is analog, and so too. And I have like an old clock radio in my house that I like, use typically. And for a long while, I still thought it was later or earlier. It's hard to talk about.
This year fell on International Women's Day, which is fucking hilarious.
Right.
That's some funny shit,
we
dude.
Lose an hour of
yeah,
it.
That's
it's
so
only
funny.
23 hours we're doing of it.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much.
That's
anyway,
wild.
That's my villain this week. I hate it so much. Let's kill it dead.
And do you have a hero, or do we only do one?
If you've got two, you can go for it.
Well, I can condense mine into two. My villain of the week is New Star Trek. I hate New Star Trek. Any Star Trek that's been made after. The Nemesis movie, and that's kind of even the transition period, I'd say, that it's bad. Like, this stuff that's on TV right now, Picard, bad, bad, bad.
I think we're going to have you and Hisham on for a duo episode.
Hisham's funny. He loves it. And I
get
why.
Like,
and I get why people like it, because it is, like, fun to see the characters, and there are moments of, like, great remembrances of things that have happened and paying them off, kind of. But for me, it's too easy and not earned well enough. Anyway, my hero of the week is old Star Trek.
Ah, very nice.
I see what you did there.
When you watch that old, I mean, TNG, look, I love TNG, love DS9, love even the original series, but when you watch any of these series, especially TNG, it's just such a fun humanist view of the future. And it's hard to write. Look, Gene Roddenberry said, you know, we're going to make a show where none of the conflicts come from interpersonal relationships. It's not that all the conflicts are going to come from what it is like to... Humanity perfected its thing, you know, we're good and we're virtuous and we're altruistic and whatever, and we're just bettering ourselves. Let's see what the conflict then becomes when we're bumping that up against other ideologies and when we're trying to explore new worlds and whatever. And to me, that's really, to me, that's hard to do. Mm. That's a weird thing to do because, you know, all good drama has conflict. But then they pulled it off. There were great episodes where... You know, they wanted to bring new worlds into the Federation, and we discovered some weird thing about them where it's like, oh God, you guys got to stop putting these robot people as second class citizens or whatever. There's like a mole people that you're enslaving them. Come on. Anyway, there's better episodes than I just described. But, no, old Star Trek is great, and new Star Trek blows.
Oh, fair enough. Okay. For me, I'm kind of the villain of this one myself. So this was a couple years ago, and this is back when I was in that job I didn't necessarily like. I was maybe a little stressed out, and all of a sudden, for multiple days, I started feeling like whenever I'd stand up, I'd get like really lightheaded, like the room would just start to spin.
Yeah.
And then I was like, it's probably nothing. And then as it sort of went on, I started getting like these pains in my chest, right? Where it's like on my left side, and it was like, felt like it was like cramping up all the time. And I was like, oh, that's not good. And I remember I was on a gig for somebody at like Christmas, and we drove all the way up to Barrie, which is like 1.5-2 hours, depending on like weather and traffic and stuff like that. And all the way back. And the whole time I was just like, I'm having a heart attack. Like my chest is seizing up. Like if I move my head, I'm like really dizzy. And so obviously decided to not go to the hospital. Yeah.
Oh no.
So, I was trying to agree with whatever you were going to say.
So then I just go into work a couple days later. I'm like, I'm sure this will be fine. And then my left arm started going numb and I've got chest pains and I'm dizzy when I'm falling out. And like, I'm just like, I'm Googling the symptoms and it's like, yeah, you're having a heart attack. Yeah. Go to the... And so I decided at about noon on a Tuesday, you know what? I should probably go. This is like 5 days later. It's like, I should probably go to the hospital and decided to drive myself because I didn't want to inconvenience any coworkers.
How long ago was this?
I'm totally willing to endanger everybody else on the road. I cannot possibly endanger. I don't want to inconvenience my coworkers.
No,
this is like
it.
A couple years.
You felt well enough to drive.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cut to the chase.
I can drive. I can drive with one hand and one eye. So I'm just like, oh my God, I'm having. So, like, as soon as you decide to go to the hospital, that makes it so much worse because that's suddenly real.
Yes.
Right? And so, like, I'm like, oh, this is bad now. This is really, really, really bad. And I go in, I find parking in the hospital. I go in, I describe my symptoms to them, and they're like, we will see you immediately.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
And they start putting, like the electrodes on the chest and stuff like that. And then you just immediately see them be like, oh. And they're just like, go have a seat, a doctor will see you in a couple hours. Like it's just like so obviously, like they were like, this is what the symptoms are,
right?
And your heart monitor is just like nothing is happening.
This is a panic attack.
You're exactly experiencing panic. And if you Google heart attack or panic attack, that does not help a panic attack. Because what they're going to say is...
what you experienced.
Yes. And yeah. They're going to say, it's probably a panic attack, but it could also be a heart attack.
But that's the thing, you know.
And there's no way to tell. So you should go to the doctor. And you're like, it's like, did it get worse when you thought it was a heart attack? And you're like, yeah. It's like, well
that's
probably
the thing,
a panic
attack. We laugh, but it's like, holy hell, there's no... I mean, panic. That's pretty serious too, a panic attack.
And yeah,
it's
no, it's bad. And And then as soon as the doctor said, we can't find anything wrong with you, I was fine. Right. I was right back to normal. Right. The only thing that possibly was, and this was also very telling, is I had drank quite a bit at a company Christmas party like a month prior, like a few weeks prior. And I think I damaged my inner ear.
Oh my God.
And that's why
are you a hypochondriac?
No, but that's why I was dizzy.
Your inner ear.
So okay. Whenever I would sit up, there was something weird with the equilibrium in my ear.
Fair enough, okay.
And so that's what caused the spinning. And then the spinning turned into like, you know, just like muscle tightness or something like
that.
Right. And then,
do we know
like
for sure that drinking can damage your inner ear? Do we know that for sure?
I mean, I did something anyway. So I was dizzy, and they were like, I don't know.
I got a Q-tip,
Let's put it this way: I went really hard that night, and I woke up kind of dizzy the next day. And
then you thought you were hungover.
Yeah, yeah, and it persisted. So anyway, I'm the villain for being that typical male. It'll be fine. I'll walk it off when I'm clearly having a heart attack. So it was not a heart attack. So we're all good.
Well, I'm so glad you didn't have a heart attack. Yeah. And that you really buried the lead there, though.
Yeah.
It made a good story.
I wanted you to think I was having
a heart attack. Oh, my God.
Yeah, there we go.
The listener can't see you, but I was like, when did this happen?
Yeah, this was a couple years ago, and I've been all good since. But, yeah, I think that's it for us this week. Rebecca, where can people grab you?
You can follow me at Rebecca Reads at any site of your choosing.
Fantastic. Chris, where can people find you? Anything to promote?
Yeah, actually, I got this great new website. It's chrissandiford.com. chrissandiford.com. And that's where all my stuff is. That's where I put the videos and like any shows that are coming up. By the way, this drops on the 19th.
Yeah.
I'm going to be doing, there's a fun show tonight. The
19th. Oh, okay. Get on it.
You're an embarrassment. This guy, Tommy Marshall, is putting it on through Sorry Grandma Comedy. And it's just a show where we talk about how embarrassing we are.
Oh, I've done that show. It's really fun. Yeah.
I've never done it.
Yeah. It's a fun show.
That's 8 p.m. at Comedy Bar. And then I'm going to be at Comedy Bar all weekend.
Fantastic. So, yeah. Check it out. Chris is very funny.
Oh, Chris. At Oh, Chris on everything.
Fantastic. Yeah. And you can follow me at Craig Faye Comedy on Facebook, Twitter, CraigFaye.com for show dates. And that is it for us at The Villain Was Right this week. Tune in next week where we're looking at Horrible Bosses. We're checking out that one. And until then, thank you for listening. And this is The Villain Was Right, reminding you to stay 6 feet back from that pit of souls.
The Villain Was Right was produced by Andrew Ivamy for the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as YouTube series, webcomics, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.